Turn off the mic.
Oops.
No. Yeah. Oops. I thought I wasn't ready. Wow. Welcome to Linux Link Tech Show, episode 57. November 3rd, 2004. I'm Dan. Across the way is Link.
Hey.
And over there, it's my second night of seeing Alan.
Yes,
we were
really.
Munching down at the ground round last night.
All of a sudden, I like hear you talk. I was like, where the hell is this coming from?
I was going to give you a little
the
kiss.
Post-election dinner.
That's it. Hoo-ha. Are we playing a promo or something, or are we just rolling right in?
Ready anytime you are, if you want to.
Well, go ahead. You can play the promo. We'll be right back in just a minute.
Okay.
Hi, folks. This is Link from the Linux Link Tech Show. Have you ever thought to yourself, I have a question for these guys? Or, I wonder if they would review my product? Or, why don't they talk about this? Or, maybe, I sure would like to support these fellas somehow. Or, just, how do I get in touch with them? Well, the easy answer is to email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. You can let us know any questions, suggestions, or information you might have, and perhaps even get mentioned on the show. Email us at techshow@thelinuxlink.net. And let us know how we're doing and whether or not you enjoy the show. And also, catch us on IRC every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern by pointing your favorite IRC client to our server, thelinuxlink.net, and joining channel Pound Tech Show. Hope to see you there.
Wait, we got one more. If you don't know what that said, you're in the same boat that I'm in, but we'll tell you about it a little bit later. Go ahead, Dan.
Leave them hanging.
Yeah, that's right.
Leave them hanging.
It's a cliffhanger, so you pay attention to the rest of the show.
That's true. Or not. Whatever the case may be. Don't know. How are you today, Alan?
Oh, not too bad. We're here.
Got some good stuff to cover tonight.
Do I have stuff to cover?
No, I said we've got some good stuff to cover tonight. Obviously, you don't have good stuff to cover tonight, but we got some good stuff to cover tonight.
And it's USNO.
What's new in the world, Link?
CK.
Yeah. Well, I don't know.
What's new? I'm trying to help Alan run NTP data on his machine so that he has the correct time.
There we go. Yeah, because I'm like, you know, tomorrow still.
There you go. See, now if you do HWCLOCK.
That's hardware clock.
Right, it's hardware clock. It is.
Space.
Dash.
Sys2HC.
That's right. Dan's got it down, see?
Damn Skippy. I went to run that on Saturday night after 2 a.m.
Uh-huh.
Sunday morning after 2 a.m.
This is after the time change, right?
And they were already adjusted themselves.
Yeah, because Linux is awesome, man. Linux is awesome, man. I had some trouble after the date change, after the time change with some of the Windows boxes at work, but the Linux machines roll right over. Freaking
would you like,
beautiful, man.
We noticed that the date changed. Or daylight savings time. Would you like to adjust your clock?
Yeah, right.
Crash!
Well, see, there's a problem with that because some of the computers in my office, I don't, like, because they piss with things, so I don't give them all permission to change the date, you know? So I have to go around and log in as administrator to update the date for them. And it's a really bad thing, man.
We have that problem, too, but it comes around because of Go Back. And I wonder if we have that Fortress on there. I wonder if that's going to take care of that, too, or are we going to have to adjust. It's always been a pain in the butt every year. Yeah, that's the way it be.
Yeah, man.
What's new? Have you listened to the Linux show lately?
Yeah.
You have, actually?
No.
You liar.
No, I haven't. There's a reason for that. You know, some of the people there, like, you know, Doc and Russ, I love you guys. The rest of you bore the shit out of me.
But, you know, what I find interesting about the Linux show is I've noticed ever
there's
since
something
I've been,
interesting.
Well... In regards,
you should listen to the long silence there, right? Well,
I don't know. The reason being that. Is because podcasts have interrupted my weekly regimen of listening to the Linux show. I used to go every
don't you enjoy like listening to the podcasts?
No, I'm not saying I don't. I'm saying I used to go every Wednesday and download the latest Linux show episode and listen to it at work, but right. I've been so accustomed to having all that stuff automatically pulled down for me.
Yeah.
I don't want to go out searching anymore.
Yeah.
You're lazy now.
Yeah, I've gotten lazy.
Gotten lazy.
Which is probably the same reason why I have not listened to the Lug Radio episode yet, which I really want to. I just keep forgetting
that's
to
really
download
good,
it.
By the way, you know, their second episode is out. So
it's out already?
Check it out. Yes, it is.
Oh, man, I still haven't listened
you're
to the first.
You're missing out, man. That's two down. And this last one was it Sparks last?
Yeah, I think Sparks, yeah.
Episode?
What, he's leaving?
I believe so. I haven't actually found out why. But, yeah.
As he's going to be doing the Wug Radio, Windows User Group Radio. Or Mug Radio, Mac User Group Radio.
Something like that.
Or NUG, Netware.
I don't know what the hell he's
or
doing.
Or PUG, Plan 9.
It's unfortunate.
Solaris
know.
Radio.
Shut up.
I definitely... they don't have a podcast feed yet, do they?
No, but I keep seeing rumors about it that someone's working on it on their
How
forum.
Long does it take?
I, you know, like it took us, what, all of 15 seconds. I don't know what the problem is.
I was gonna say, it wasn't too hard because I put together the original
script.
Yeah,
this is not a difficult procedure here. You pretty much, you know, Dan is like handwriting the RSS feed. Like, yeah. This is not tough, right? I don't know what the problem or the holdup is. I think they probably should do it. But they probably want to integrate it with their fancy... you know, mirror downloading rotation thingy or something like that. But
yeah, it's nice how they do that. You always go get a different mirror wherever you go there.
What do you think? You know?
I don't know. That would be nice. I don't. Can you really do that though? I mean, I wonder how.
Why couldn't
well,
you?
I guess
if
just point it to a.
If I wrote a PHP script to change it every time
redirector.
It was hit, you know.
Yeah.
That's
there
not,
we go.
It's not nothing to it. We could do that. Well, sure. We don't have to because we have, you know, this killer bandwidth thing going on.
So far, yeah.
And I'm kind of happy with that myself, actually. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, well. Link, what's new in the world for you while I get ready to gear up my review of Alt Linux?
All right, well, what's new for me?
Keep waiting.
RS, Firefox. Like, I finally got around to upgrading my Firefox to the latest, which is what, RC...
One?
Is it Release Candidate 1?
I don't know.
Or is it RC2 or something like that? It's a pre-1 release, right?
There's a pre-1. I think they called it pre-2.0 release. I downloaded the other night.
I know, let me hit
but there
the
is
help
no
thing.
2.0, so I think there's a new candidate release. But
this
still
is the help thing, and it says... On the help thing, version 1.0 preview release. Okay, so
there's
this
a
is what
preview
I
release.
This is what I upgraded.
Yeah,
that's
what he
my
says
stuff
I'm gonna have to upgrade now.
Yeah.
Well, I just did this one like just today, as I was doing my Slackware updates for a patch or whatever the hell I had to get patched. But even though I don't even run Apache on my laptop. But, what the hell. So I grabbed the new Firefox, and I put it on there, and I've been playing with the new Firefox lately, and it's really nice. I mean, Firefox is awesome. It just keeps getting better every time. And especially ever since they stopped, changing the name every time.
Every time.
One of the cool things it has on it now, I don't know if you guys have seen this yet, but it's got some kind of integrated RSS reader in it, newsfeed reader. And check this out. I'll show you while I'm doing it.
I've noticed that one on the Windows version. I have to use it at work.
I'll open up a tab and I'll go to
little things.
Yeah, I'll go to my homepage, and I put a little piece of code in my homepage. A lot of other pages have this too. It pops up a little RSS box right down in the bottom right hand corner. If you have so designed your web page to make a feed available, right? And if you click on that and click to subscribe to this feed, it asks you where you want to put it, and you can put the feed in your bookmarks or whatever. And then when you go examine your bookmarks.
On your page?
On my page, look in the. Open it up under Firefox.
You're going to post that?
Get my. Hit my website.
Right.
And look in the very bottom right hand corner. You'll see a little orange block says RSS. Do you see it?
No.
Do you have the latest version of Firefox? No,
this is.
There we go.
This is run on PPC, so I have 9.1.
Well, that's probably why. In the latest version, trust me, if you peek around the corner, I can show you. It does have it on there. And now, if you look, I go to my bookmarks.
I don't believe it.
And here it is. My little feed is in the bookmark. And next to my feed, every one of my RSS stories, I guess it is, you'd call it, are listed off of my main feed.
Oh, that's cool. I never noticed that over there.
It's neater than... And underneath all the stories, there's a tab called Open in Tabs. If you click that, it will open every damn story in its own unique tab. And you can just kind of go through the tabs and read it. It's really cool.
Cool.
I'm totally impressed with it. It's really, really neat. So I've been playing with that. I thought that was really cool looking.
Got to publish where you put the little code in there for people.
I did. If you read my weblog, you would see.
Well, I do read your weblog.
See right there, RSS and other stuff, 2004-11-02.
Yeah, I got that much.
Well, if you read it, it tells you.
Okay, I have to look around, man.
So you got to do it. It's stuff that goes into your header under the link tabs.
Okay.
Link tags. Yeah,
some meta information. I also notice you have your face on blog lines now.
Yes. That's another thing.
Just the evil eyes looking out at you there.
The evil eyes and nose of the link man looking at you through. I was looking at blog lines, and the real professional kind of web blogs, they each have a little graphic or a picture associated next to their name, And I'm thinking to myself, well, I want to be professional.
I want
to
do that
too. I can do that. So I looked at their feeds real quick and found out this image tag that they have going on in there, and I just kind of, I made up a little graphic for me and slapped it in there and stuck the image tag on, and boy, don't you know it, I got a little link face hanging out in there now.
Cool.
All cool and professional looking.
That goes in your header as well?
Yes. Yeah, right at the bottom of the header in the RSS.
Where's the link face?
You're not on blog lines, man. You suck.
I have no reason to go to blog lines.
Blog lines is awesome.
I'm sure it is, but it's blocked at work.
But it's blocked at work, yeah. And that
so,
could
you
be
know,
problem,
it's just like, oh.
You couldn't do it like some kind of redirect here? Or probably not.
Yeah.
I don't know.
How's it look through links?
Yeah. I never tried that.
Daily, your face comes up and asks you, what is your... Do you have a link to your blog lines?
To my blog lines, what?
Wait, show me your face coming up in blog lines.
Okay, I got
it. Can I get to it
blog lines
from here?
If you put in as a...
You'd have to subscribe to my...
Yeah, that's what I'd have to do.
To my feed.
Well, you could just show
see.
Me later. Yeah. I could just look at your face right here.
You're only right across from him.
And I can look at your face on your webpage, too. It's put his face everywhere.
He's just got the evil eyes looking at it on the page.
Beautiful. Or damn good looking, as I tell my wife all the time.
The picture so you have on your website of you looking down with that surprise look on your face, you look like you either got something really good to eat or somebody like
taking
shit
a turn,
on your plate.
Yeah. It's a conversation starter. That's what it is.
Yeah. That's some pretty good stuff. Oh! Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, man.
So how many feeds do you have in your blog lines, Link?
I had like 50 some odd.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just got 57.
Yeah, 50 some odd in there. Good stuff. Good stuff. And if you hit my website, right down the side, I have like a
another 50 of them.
No, it's just it's the same one. It's the same listing of stuff that I actually look at. So
okay,
you can check out what I look at. Yeah, my blog roll, I guess that's what they're calling it.
Your blog hole.
My blog roll.
Your blog hole.
Kind of like my fat roll, but not, you know?
I think you can do it through blog lines, too, if you make it public, right?
Yeah, well, that's where I took, like, the HTML snippet of the ones that
okay.
I got through there and just, you know, popped it up. I initially, they give you a mechanism to put their listing on there, and it's automatically updated by them. However, if you do that, then you have to, of course, when someone hits your page, it has to go out and fetch the crap from blog lines and put it. So I just made a local copy. But, you know.
That's the way to do it.
You get the idea.
Do you want to know some of the statistics for our show?
Absolutely.
Last week,
mm-hmm.
based upon our archive site and the URL hits generated by Webalizer?
Yeah.
In October,
Webalizer
the end of, the end of October, show number 52 had 2,811 hits. 53 had 2,099. 54, 1,665. 55, 996. And 56, 438.
Yeah.
And our Cut Your Own Mofo feed had
1,588 hits. And keep in mind that these are not the complete statistics, because we also have
mirror sites.
Four mirror sites.
Now add 76 onto 56, which would give us about 500 downloads, 500 hits. And then for November, we've already had 436 hits from the 50. You know what? I wonder if this is actually accurate. When you run, like, an iPod or script and it hits the RSS, does it actually go out and touch all the files listed in that RSS?
Mine doesn't, no.
I know yours doesn't, but I'm wondering if it, because...
Why would it?
I don't know why it would, because already...
That's like a lot of useless and needless overhead.
Because one thing that doesn't make any sense is, why would we have 436 hits for show number 52 in November already, but the other shows were like 140, 247, 250.
Well, how many shows do you have listed in the podcast feed, in the RSS for the podcast feed?
All of them since.
Well, then every time someone new subscribes to that podcast feed, chances are, you know, they're probably getting all of them.
Yeah, but shouldn't a show, like, for November, shouldn't all the shows be equal?
Why?
Because every time you hit the feed, if you're new, you're going to download the first.
But
supposing
that everybody that gets the feed uses podcast and doesn't go through the archives and download it themselves.
Right. So what I'm saying is, if, saying that we're not new, if you're new, you're going to get 52, 53, 54. So actually, we should see higher numbers on the later shows. But we're not seeing that.
No, because you're not accounting for the people who aren't using podcasting to retrieve the shows.
Right.
There are probably a great number of people who are not doing that yet, and you're not compensating for those people who are just grabbing it themselves.
Now, how are you, when you were generating the hit statistics, how are you pulling that information out?
I was pulling my logs, my Apache logs in.
And every hit
and
that...
And checking for complete downloads of the MP3 files.
And how do you know it was a complete download?
Because it doesn't register as a download unless it's complete under Apache the way I have it set up.
How? Did you have to do some special configuration for that?
No, not really.
So what is it in the log that would say in the log?
It lists the file.
It lists the complete download.
Yeah,
how do you know?
It lists the complete download and file.
So if it's not a complete download,
you can look at it. It's like if it's not a complete download, there's a HTML code that goes with it.
What's the code for the complete download?
I don't know. I have to look.
Complete.
To look.
Yeah. Because I'm wondering if we could if run that on the. Well, is that going
to
show up then? And if somebody downloads it via iPod,
look, if you looked in there, actually, if you look on the statistics for the Webalizer will tell you. It will list completes and stuff like that too.
It will?
Should, yeah. It should tell you there's so many hits that weren't complete or some kind of crap like that. Yeah. What Link said.
I'm trying to figure. Partial content move. Okay, cool.
Yeah, partial content.
But how do we know what that apply? See, I'm just wondering. I'm just wondering if we can actually say that that number right there, 400.
That would be your code, though, 206 there, buddy.
Code 206.
Partial content.
There's nine, but we have code okay as 1,757.
Right.
So we're saying that if we added up these hit totals here,
1,757 is the amount of hits to the website. Period. Has nothing to do with the downloads.
Right. But then.
But if you look in the log itself, it should tell you.
Bum bum bum. I'm gonna go look now.
You do that.
And then I'm gonna cry. And all these people that are listening will be like, "What the hell?"
They probably don't care. But I tell you what they will care about. Ilan Rabinovich sent us an email with some bumpers or promos or IDs, actually, for our show, the Linux Link Tech Show. And this gentleman also does the Southern Cal Linux Expo. And he is actually the one that sent that first promo that we heard that no one knows what it was. This one right here. Listen to it. Now, sorry, Lon, I know that sound quality is really bad, but, like, you recorded them, dude, and I fixed them the best I could. Evidently, this is, you know, something along the lines of you guys are way cool in Hebrew. You guys from the Linux Link Tech Show. Either that or it's, you know, you really suck in Hebrew, and I don't know any Hebrew, so
it could be either.
I'm just going to take his word
for bumper,
it, right?
It's bumper, so we'll just accept
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I'm going to say, yeah, thanks, it's great. And it says, you know, he listens to the Linux Link Tech Show in Hebrew, I hope, and he's, I hope he's just not calling me an asshole or something like that. But it's really cool, you know, because we did ask for people to send us stuff in their own native languages, and, you know, that was like the first one. I really appreciate that. It's pretty cool. So we cleaned up the best I could and played right out on the show. And he sent us another one in English, which I also cleaned up, and it had some bad spots in it, so I kind of had to edit it a little bit. But it's an ad for his Southern California Linux Expo thingy. Take a listen to this one now.
This is Elon with the Southern California Linux Expo, and you're listening to the Linux Link Tech Show.
Yeah.
Are you working on an interesting project related to Linux, open source, or free software? Then the Southern California Linux Expo wants you. For more information, please see our website at www.socallinuxexpo.org. That's SOCALLINUXEXPO.ORG. We look forward to seeing you there.
You betcha, and check that right out if you can. And like I said, sorry, Elon, for the stuff that's missing in the middle there that I just couldn't get. Just a bad file, I guess, or something. But cleaned up the best I could, and, you know, you could actually understand that one. So, hey, that was cool.
Didn't he record that? Like, it's just like a phone
he,
email.
Yeah, he recorded that.
Like
he
an
set
MP3?
Off, that's right, some kind of a recording off of a voicemail. From a cell phone kind of thing. So that was pretty cool, you know. And we appreciate it. And, you know, by all means, if you guys have some stuff that you would like to have aired, and, you know, we always like IDs and promos and stuff, and by all means, just send it right in. That's cool. I hear the police are coming for Dan now.
Sounds
the rest
of the
you
city.
Probably can't hear it, but, you know, they're whipping by. The sirens shouting for Dan out in the streets.
Dan's hiding underneath the table.
Yep. So, what else do we have since Dan's still over there poking around? We have, boy, we have Will Simpson's comment. Will Simpson from the previously and aforementioned hot site, willsimpson.org. The fantastic Will Simpson. Go visit his stuff right now. Sent us an audio comment because he is indeed a cool dude. And let's listen to that.
Good morning, Lennox Link guys. I'm going to send you an audio comment on your show from yesterday.
Okay, wait. We got this after our last show. And
it was like Thursday.
I don't want to give you like a reference point before he says what he says. In our last show, we were bitching and whining about the fact that our podcast listing wasn't on iPodder.org anymore. Like, somehow it was like the eighth one that was ever on there, and it somehow had disappeared, right? And we were bitching about that on the last show. And he heard that and sent us a comment right away, and here's the rest of it.
You guys call yourself techies? Oops. Hey, look at the bottom of the categories on the iPodder directory, and hey, you're going to see that Ray Boyson is actually the editor of the technology directory, and there is a link at the bottom of the directory. You click on it, and hey, fill out a form, and you get yourself added.
Okay, you got us, right? All right, you got us. We were, like, slacking off. But now, you know what? I didn't even really think about going and doing it again because I freaking submitted the site so many damn times, right?
Now, that was on iPodder.org, right?
Yeah, and you did it again, and so did Matt Bishop put that in there for us, too, again. So,
and
yeah,
again,
you got me. All right, I could have done it. I should have done it. I didn't.
But you know what?
I shouldn't have to, man.
I
there's more of a comment. Let's just rest.
Wait, hold on. Under the general news category, okay, suggest a link.
Okay.
I filled that out twice.
I filled it out twice, man.
Since we disappeared. But we're there. Go ahead, finish.
All right, here we go.
You know, if you can't figure that out, let me know, and I'll be glad to suggest a link, your link to Ray.
Do it, Will.
You guys sound like maybe you should be running maybe Windows ME.
Now that's just dirty right there. That's below the belt, man. That is some dirty stuff.
Hey, I love your show. You guys are near the top of my listening list. Hey, and I agree with you guys that hey, the sediment of the Pioneers directory and the Podcaster directory is a little misleading. And hey, mostly those are, you know, daily shows. They're mostly inbred. By that I mean they always are massaging each other, commenting on each other's shows. And for the most part, they're radio personalities. And, you know, like you, I also was podcasting before most of those people. But, hey, I'm an irregular podcaster in all senses of that term. And I cover a relatively unpopular, untechie topic, photography. And I don't have all the cool production toys. And as you can hear, a very non-radio voice. Hey, good morning, guys. I got to rush off to work here. I'm already late. But I thought I'd send you off this audio comment. Signing off now, this is Will Simpson from willsimpson.org.
Thanks a lot, Will. That was really cool. We appreciate that. And
photography is a geeky sort of thing.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I wanted to make a comment. Like, not only does he, and photography really is a geeky thing. He's really, really good at it. And I've heard him say several times that he's like in no manner a professional about this photography thing he does. He's fantastic.
You wouldn't notice
when
you look at his pictures.
Yeah. You look at his pictures, he really, really is outstandingly good at it. I've even used like some of them as he's got some desktops and some desktop pictures and stuff. Really nice stuff. And he said, you know, he doesn't use any professional equipment or stuff, but I happen to know for a fact that he does, like a lot of his stuff, he does on Linux. So he uses the GIMP to manage his photographs and play with them and stuff. And I'm assuming that he's using Linux to record his like podcasts and stuff like that that he does too. And you know, good for you, Will. You know, we really appreciate that stuff. And again, go check his site out, man. It's willsimpson.org. willsimpson.org.
I look forward to listening to his podcast.
His podcasts are great,
when
man.
I've only listened to one when I get through all the...
They're awesome.
I'm still like a month and a half.
That whole Painter guy thing. I love that, man.
I like his pictures, too. They're nice.
Oh, yeah.
They're pretty pictures. He does a fantastic job.
And
oh,
before you go on, we'll give you the second half. It's 34 after the hour, and we should do our.
Oh, before you do that, I have one last thing about the podcast.
Nope, I'm cutting your mic out. That's it.
I listen
no.
to
la 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 la.
I listen to Gamers Radio.
Okay.
Podcast.
Right.
I really like that. That's right up my alley. Just talking about video games
okay.
for all platforms. You know.
That's why I don't listen to it. Yeah,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, see,
I figured you would like that one.
A fantastic. I enjoyed it very much, and I look forward to the next one. They're on 60 some episodes.
Really? Wow.
So they're beating us. I think they started well before us too.
But they're doing like they do it a lot more frequently.
Right.
Then we do it.
I guess they do. I don't know.
It's not hard to beat us with the number of episodes, like if you record one every day or every other day. But the matter of fact, the whole thing is we've been doing this, you know, one hour a week episode for
now,
well over a year now.
One last thing. Okay. Close off this topic.
Okay.
This is what I did. I took the logs.
Okay.
I grepped out all the hits.
Okay.
Full hits.
Right.
And that were MP3 files.
Okay.
Then, I grepped out each episode, 52 to 56,
okay,
in the separate files, and did a word count to list the lines.
Okay.
Episode 52, 3,962 downloads.
Ooh.
Episode 53, 3,157. Episode 54, 4,324. 55, 2,161. And 56, 1,551. For a total of 15,155 downloads from those episodes.
At 13 or 14 megs a download. Woo! How much was the bill?
$15.
I
don't know. They're
squeaking by, man. I don't know what's going on.
They tell us we're only using zero bandwidth.
Well, that maybe. You know what I was thinking last time when you looked at that? Had it already have been a month? And, like, they reset the bandwidth count or something?
I was going to say, because it can't be
0%. Yeah, it can't be. You know, 5,000 downloads at, you know, 15 mega, 13 to 15 mega piece, that's all. You know, that's a lot of bandwidth there. But, hey, if they, you know, if they
maybe
say it didn't happen.
Maybe the bandwidth thing is a per-day bandwidth, maybe?
50 gig a day?
No,
holy
no,
crap,
no,
man.
No. I mean they're counter saying you've used, you know, this percent today. Type thing.
I don't know. That's a good question. When I look at that, and, you know, it doesn't say that we are using... Well, let's go to break, and I'll check through the logs.
All right. Here we go.
We'll see what they say.
Here's the deal with our musical interlude for tonight. Fine, gentleman by the name of Adam York has... had a couple conversations with me in email. He's a Bash Potter user. Yay! And he's also a Linux Link Tech Show listener. Yay! And his wife happens to be a professional jazz pianist. Her name is Pamela York. And you can find her website at www.pamelayork.com. PamelayYork.com. And being a professional musician, she, of course, has a CD out. This latest CD that she has out is called Blue York, BLUEYORK. And you can, of course, buy her CD from, I think you can find some links, or will be soon, get some different direct links off of her website. And you can also, I found it on Amazon.com, and he mentioned that it's also on Buy.com and BarnesandNoble.com. I'm going to copy the links off while the song is playing into our chat log so you can grab them out of there if you'd like. But what I did, he sent us some music to play from her CD, which is really cool, you know, like having really, really good and talented artists who give us explicit permission to play their music. So screw you, RIAA, you know. So I'm going to play this tonight, and this is Pamela York and Back to the Border from her Blue York CD. Check it out. All right, guys. And again, that was Pamela York from her Blue York CD, which you can find right on Amazon.com, as a matter of fact, and you can follow the links that I provided on the chat log.
You know what's interesting?
What's
that? You go and look at her shows and events. She's playing at Suzanne and Magnolia Club in Houston, Texas.
Yeah.
But then she's playing at Houston's in New York.
Yeah, you know, like you look at, check out her website and look at some of the people she's played with. She's played with some really big name people. She really is good. Like I said, I have two more songs at home that they sent me, and I wish I had time to play them all on the show, but
and they found
work
you,
them in a couple shows some other
they
time.
They found you through?
Bash Potter.
Bash Potter.
Bash Potter, which, of course, is the Linux...
The choice of the tech show.
Yeah, the choice of the tech show podcasting clients, probably because I wrote the damn thing. No, I guess her husband Adam got a hold of a copy of Bash Potter, and in the BP.com file, which is where you put all your podcasts that you want to grab, I already have it preloaded with the Linux Link Tech Show, and I think you got a hold of stuff that way and dug our stuff. And
cool. Thank you very much.
Yes,
I look forward to getting more songs.
It's good. It's good. Well, like I said, I have two more, so we can work them in at some point in time, but it's really good, and I of course, have to go and get that CD. So, but can I one more thing I'd like to add real quick?
All right, go ahead.
We got a letter on our tech show forums.
On our forums?
Yeah,
recently?
On our forums, yeah, recently, yesterday. From Kyle Bowerman, I hope I got your name right, in St. Charles, Illinois. Kyle at Bowerman.org. And he has a couple of quick questions that I would like to just slap out on the air real quick. He says, first of all, he thanks us for our great show. You know, you're welcome, dude. It's cool. he has two questions. Hope you'll ask your listeners. One, he has this Otis, O-T-I-S, MP3 player from Audible.com. When he plugs it into his Gen 2 box, it doesn't come up. It says USB device 8 something something. It gives a product number, you know, the vendor product thing. It's not claimed by any active driver. And he wants to know, has anybody been able to get that to work? And Dan and I and Alan were discussing this right before the show started. And the only thing I can think of is, like, this is one of them deals where it should be, like, a mass storage driver, a mass storage device driver.
Yeah.
And I don't know where the hell to put that product ID in order to get it associated with the mass storage driver so that you can try that. But that's what you should look for and see if that works. I know there's a way to do it. I just, you know, we had 20 seconds of Google time before the show went on the air tonight, and I just couldn't find it. So check around for that. There's a way to associate your particular vendor product ID of the USB device with a driver. And that's what you need to find. You try it with that USB mass storage driver, and that might just do the trick. Your second thing that you brought up is, he's assuming I get this to work or buy another. Do you know of any MP3 device managers that can upload to my MP3 player as part of a cron job? Hell yes, I do. I wrote one. It's called Bash Potter. Go and, follow the links off the tech show page to my site, and then go to the scripts directory in Bash Potter and get it. And you can go right in that easy little Bash script and tell it to upload files to wherever the hell you want it to. And that will be that. Thank you very much, Kyle Bowerman from St. Charles, Illinois, for taking the time to write us some cool letters. And that would be pretty much what I have. It's all you, Dan.
I've run into
you
that
have
problem,
the mic, my brother,
with regards to exactly what Kyle Bowerman is talking about. It's a sticky wicket because there's an ID number that is on the device. The vendor ID number.
He's got it listed there in the email.
Right, but it has to be. If you look, I went through this with the what's it called?
I don't know.
Palm Pilot. when it first came out, the Palm Pilot had, it was too new. The kernel wasn't already adjusted. Okay. You had to go in and actually edit the source code for that driver.
Ooh.
And associate the vendor ID number with that device. Okay. Yeah, because there's certain parameters that you have to put in there. I'll keep a lookout for whether there's anything I can find with regards to the Otis MP3 player. But that ends up being the problem right there, because it doesn't recognize that ID number, that product number. It can't match it with the proper
device. Right, well, that's what he's got. He's got to find a way to get that ID number associated with what, right. I would think to try first would be the USB mass storage device. Makes sense to me, but, you know.
Yeah, so we'll keep that in mind. I'll look around this week. I haven't paid attention to the forums. I haven't done anything on my damn except break down the Bailey list for a week.
Break the Bailey list, that's what it is.
It was a little quiet there for a while.
The only thing I did. That's all I did. Yeah. So, are we ready to talk about Alt Linux? Because I know it's been 3 weeks since I received that disk in the mail. And
yeah, man.
So, feedback of Alt Linux. Alt Linux, and you can find Alt Linux at altlinux.com, is a Russian distribution of Linux.
Okay.
That is has come out. One of our listeners, Judland, out of Canada, really likes Alt Linux, and if I'm not mistaken, he's helping them with some of the English translation and documentation.
Cool.
It seems to be gaining some popularity. Now, I'll be honest with you. I didn't do any research on Alt Linux. I didn't, you know, other than, you know, just looking at the fancy CD he sent us. He did a fantastic job. So I just went in, grabbed the disk, and threw it on a laptop, a gateway laptop that we had at work, just to try it out. It was going to be something I was thinking, well, what I could use it for is snooping the network. So that's what I figured I would try and do. Threw the disk in, booted off the disk without a problem, and the first thing I noticed, it uses the Mandrake installer. Okay? So it's a fairly easy installation process for anybody.
Yeah, they're usually, Mandrake's pretty painless.
Right. For anybody who's never installed before, or is, you know, still new at doing installs and not comfortable with doing installs, I mean, you have... It's step by step. I did an expert install, of course. Now, I didn't try any, you know, the basic install, because I like doing the expert install.
Ooh.
So I'm sure it added a whole bunch of other steps, didn't automate anything for me. One thing that I did have a problem with, when it first came up, it said, do you want to auto-detect your SCSI devices? And this is before I had the opportunity to see the graphical installer at all. And I believe that came up because it was a laptop, and sometimes... You know, it gets confusion during a laptop install, and it wants thinks that there might be a SCSI device somewhere, but there wasn't, and I just went, you know, bypass that part, and I was kind of like, well, what if the device, like the hard drive or something, is actually a SCSI interface in there? But I really doubt it, or the CD-ROM drive. I had a DVD-ROM drive in it, but I bypassed it. The install went fine. Whatever you think of Mandrake's installer, it's fairly easy, painless walkthrough. One of the problems I started having, this isn't related to the Alt Linux distribution, but the laptop touchpad was pretty sensitive, and I kept bumping it, and it was
double tapping it
as a tap, as opposed to pressing the button. So somewhere when I went to set up the first user account. After I put in the root password, I set up my own user account. I thought that I hit the OK button without putting a password in or something. I don't know what happened. So I wasn't sure whether I applied a password. And then there was a check in there, and I wasn't paying too much attention at this point as to whether I want that to automatically use that user by default. And I said yes. So when the machine rebooted, it detected all the hardware, no problem. X was set up perfectly. I rebooted. I just figured, well, I'll just see what it's like, you know, reboot into the graphical interface.
And I stepped away from the laptop. I came back, and it was up running KDE. It didn't even ask me to log in. Now, that said to me, well, maybe I didn't set a password. So I went down the command line to try and set a password, and it turns out I did set one, but for some reason it automatically logged me in as me when I booted up. So I didn't think too much of it and waste too much time doing that and figuring out why I did that at the time. I said, you know, I want to get this thing up and running and see what I can do with it. Now, I think, again, this distribution is based off of Mandrake. It has Mandrake's DrakeConf utility for managing the hardware and services. And it just looks like the difference between Alt Linux and Mandrake is Alt Linux runs 100 times faster. Okay? It was running KDE.
Oh, I bet that was hard to do, huh?
Yeah. It was running KDE, and the Alt Linux 2.3, it was a compact distribution. It's geared towards using it as a workstation and not much of anything else. So KDE, Mozilla's was installed on it, Xine, and, you know, the suite of KDE utilities. I don't think GNOME was installed on there. I'm not sure. Anyway, the first thing I wanted to do was check out what the package system looked like because it uses RPMs. Because I wanted to get Ethereal installed so I can do some packet sniffing at work.
He's a packet sniffer.
Yeah. So I pulled up their Alt Linux, the package manager, which was nice because what's been nice about it is they already had it populated with a whole bunch of different Alt Linux sites for grabbing packages.
No, so you can get them from different, not just one.
Well, it was basically a bunch of links to sites for Alt Linux. Now, what was confusing about it is, all those links were in there, but you don't want to use a lot of them because some of them are for older versions of Alt Linux. Some are for versions of, like, the professional version, I think. Anyway, I started looking through there. What was missing was a link to the contribution software. Okay? So I actually went to Alt Linux site to see, started to navigate around on it, see where they have contribution links or whatever that I can find in packages. Now, I notice, like, right on the front of their page, there's, like, new packages listing and tons of new packages that are always added. So I'm, like, trying to figure out where are these packages, where can I get them, what can I do. So I went to their FTP site for Compact 2.3, and I found that there's a contribution directory. So I had to, without reading the documentation. Now, if I would have read the documentation, maybe it would have been different. But I had to figure out how to add a new repository to that list of download sections. And it wasn't as evident at first. It wasn't just merely pasting the URL in there. I found out that you had to paste the URL to the base directory of the distribution of Alt Linux that you want. And from there, there's a place where you put down the category of the directory that the packages are installed in, which was contrib. And it's a three sections that you actually have to fill out. But once I did that, and I said I wanted Ethereal, everything was fine. It pulled it down automatically and installed the software. It grabbed the dependencies it needed to, so that was nice. Mm. So all in all, Alt Linux as a workstation, Compact 2.3, easy to install. It was pretty speedy. It would have basically everything a general user would want. The web browser, I believe the GIMP might have been installed in there, although I didn't get that far yet. Xine, a whole bunch of different things. Flash was installed already for the web for Mozilla. And that was that. Now, the problems I have with Alt Linux, okay? The hell is that about? The problems I have with Alt Linux. Like any Linux user, the first thing I want to do when I grab my new distribution, not compile the kernel, but that would be
big. Yeah, I was going to say, you're already compiling
looking
the kernel.
Dead, yeah.
Now, yeah, I wanted to grab the latest Firefox, okay?
Yeah, of course.
So, hey, got to have the Firefox. So I downloaded the latest Firefox, the installer. Go to run the installer, it bombs out, okay? So it said it needs, bombed out on a certain, I can't remember the name of the file. But I'd grab the non-installer, the one that just runs out of the directory. That right. wouldn't run either. So I'm looking at the requirements for Firefox, and it turns out that Alt Linux 2.3 is fairly far behind
on the software that's included, the software versions. Like
based on Debian, right?
I don't know. I don't think it's based on Debian. It's based on Mandrake. I'm not sure. But anyway, Firefox release candidate 1 wants glib 2.3.
Right.
Alt Linux came with 2.2.
Right. Uh-huh.
I could not find in the repository anything about getting 2.3. Doing the searches on there. I didn't have a lot of time to dig through all that stuff. All right, so I was like, you know, Alt Linux, no problem. Whatever. I don't need Firefox. I got Mozilla. That's fine. It's usable. Figured I'd bring it home, let the wife play around with it. So when I brought it home, next thing I did, right, I'm on a wireless network here. I want to get my wireless card working on it.
Of course.
No problem whatsoever, huh? Well, I plugged in the wireless card. It was detected as an Ethernet card, but I couldn't, no matter what I could did, I could not configure this thing to run properly. I tried putting in my WebKey settings and the wireless tools, and that's just like it's a pain in the ass. And the documentation is horrible for it. I thought maybe DrakeConf would be able to take care of it and set it up for me, but no. The version of DrakeConf that they had wouldn't recognize that it was a wireless device, just recognize it as an Ethernet device.
Well, that sucks.
It did. So I figured, why waste my time with the wireless tools installed on there? I'm going to go grab the WLAN-NG stuff.
Sure.
That works perfectly.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I go grab the WLAN-NG stuff, and I go to install it. And guess what happens?
Didn't work.
It won't compile because it said the kernel sources aren't on the machine. Well, I figured, okay, it's a compact workstation. It probably doesn't have the kernel sources. I download the kernel sources.
Okay.
Tells me still can't do it. Because the kernel sources aren't on the machine. Well, I have the kernel sources, and I point to the kernel sources directory. First off, the kernel sources, when you put in the package, it just drops down to tarball into the user USR SRC. It was called kernel something, and then the kernel tarred up. I had to untar it into the USR SRC directory, name it Linux. Still wouldn't find the kernel. I noticed that GCC, the full GCC version, wasn't on there. So I grabbed the GCC, pulled that down, unpacked it, installed it. I had GCC. Still would not install. And that's when I got into the hell of RPM
this
stuff.
This is not the way to do a distribution, people. You need to make sure that people can at least get shit compiled on it.
But granted, this is for a workstation. The purpose of this distribution was to put it on and have somebody be able to use it as a workstation. They weren't.
Yeah, but
about.
If you have some odd piece of software that you need to, you know, and people actually write applications too. So it is entirely possible that you'd want a workstation that you could compile something on that had, you know.
Right, and there's a professional.
Generic libraries.
There are different versions of Alt Linux, okay? There are different versions of Alt Linux.
And you got the stupid version.
Well, Compaq is just a general workstation. There's a master version that I guess would have all the professional administrator and developing stuff in it. What annoys me, and Alt Linux is by no means, you know, the only player that does this. I think just about like SUSE, Red Hat, all the major distributions except for Slackware, and I would say probably Debian also.
Why is Slackware so good? Here it comes.
Is they don't break the packages in half.
Mm-hmm.
When you download something and install it by source, or you install a Slackware package, or I believe also a Debian package, you get the full freaking software. They don't split it into the software and the developmental
package. Right, the
developmental package.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. If I'm going to install, what's a good example? GIMP.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to install the GIMP, full thing. Everything goes in. Now, if a Red Hat or another RPM-based distribution, you got GIMP and you got GIMP development.
Right.
Or, you know, there's just...
Because they do, like, statically compile binaries and stuff like that.
Right. You can get just the library, or you can get the developmental library,
right,
which you can actually compile stuff off of.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets to be annoying, because now it's like, what do I have on here? What don't I have on here? What version is it?
Mm-hmm.
So it got to be really frustrating to try and figure out what is it I need to compile this software on here. When I think I have everything. I don't know where else I'm going to find the kernel. So I went and I downloaded the kernel from Kernel Archive. Okay. Now, the version of the kernel that they're running is 2.422, which, again, it's, was it 4 or 5 generations old now?
Right.
Okay, we're at, We're in a two sixes is where we should be at, but they're still
right.
And that's
and
fine.
I got Slack 10 running, and Slack 10 has what does it have?
I think it had 2.4.2.4.6.
By default, 2.4.2.6.
Right. 2.4.2.6. Now this is running 2.4.2.2. Plus, they add some of that extra stuff on there. You know what I mean? Like
right,
they add
right.
their own. They modify the kernel a little bit. They add some extra stuff in there.
They're pulling a red hat. Here we go.
So, again, even with the base kernel, I was still unable to compile Linux WLAN-NG.
Okay.
So, it was out at that point. You know, it was.
So basically, you're saying it's a broken like their web
is
broken.
It's not. I'm not going to say the web is broken.
Do you think it would have worked if you didn't have weapon going on your network? Like if you were just the average dumb schmuck with no, you know,
I don't know.
No wireless security, you could have just plugged your card in. Because you said the card was detected, right?
Right. The problem is, and I'm not going to say this is all Linux's fault, and I had this problem on other distributions too. The general wireless tools documentation sucks.
Yeah, it does.
And to set it up with an interface that uses WEP, is a confusing mess.
Right.
Whereas with WLAN-NG, I mean, you just edit a certain file, two files, and you're good to go.
Pretty much, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the wireless tools, and I don't know why it has to be that hard. I'm not going to point at Alt Linux and say, well, that's their fault. But it's just WLAN-NG works so much better.
Right.
And, of course, I couldn't find that to download from their RPM section, which was unfortunate.
So what they really need to do is they need to get WLAN-NG working, and basically you're saying that this particular distribution would be a good basic workstation
right.
for a newbie kind of workstation.
Or a person in an office would
right.
be perfect.
It's just to slap it on and go. They
right.
need to fix the wireless
stuff. It has really great integration with Office. Open Office is on there. Again, like I said, it's
maybe a little graphical wrapper script for how to set up
right.
WEP or something like that, right?
How to set up what?
WEP.
And yeah, that would be nice. Maybe that's in a newer version of Mandrake, which might eventually make its way into all Linux. But, you know, generally speaking, for a workstation, if you just want to get some work done, put it in an office, use it at home.
Right.
You know, you're not adding.
Well, you know, people use laptops to work on.
Right.
Too, so. And if you're going to make it, you know, work on a laptop.
And
you
wireless stuff is by no means, you know, a walk in the park on Linux at any distribution. So Alt Linux, it was nice. It was great. It was fast. It was easy to do some basic stuff on it. But unfortunately, the compact version didn't meet my needs at the moment. So I blew it off and installed Slackware. Because I had to get it up and running, and I needed to get the...
When in doubt, install Slack.
That's right.
Right. And honestly,
not that it wasn't great, but I installed Slackware anyway. Okay.
I admit, I did not give Alt Linux 100% opportunity. I had some time restraints. I wanted to get my wife to be able to have a laptop to use just for a little bit, because Frankenstein died.
Yeah.
And she wanted to, you know, watch the election stuff and do whatever she needed to do with that. And I started this on, what was it, Monday afternoon, just putzing around, walking in between what I was doing at work.
Right.
And then when I came home, I spent like an hour trying to get the wireless stuff. And I said, screw it. And I just went with Linux, Slackware. And, you know, I did 9.1. And then I did Soiret to get the GNOME stuff on there.
Right.
And then I upgraded to 10 through Soiret. And basically, the install took me about 15-20 minutes. But to do the Soiret and everything took about...
Soiret upgrade takes a while, yeah.
Right. It took about... To do everything and to go from 9.1 to 10 with, you know, the new Xorg and the stuff that I usually have, it took about 2 hours with downloading everything.
But that... See, what he's talking about... I know what he's talking about. It does take a while to download all that stuff, but... It's different than what you think. It's a completely unattended process.
Right. I mean, yeah. I just started
completely.
It and went away.
Like, you start that and go watch a movie and make a sandwich, man, because you don't need to be there at all.
That's right. And then when that was all done, I installed Linux WLAN-NG. No problem whatsoever, yep. And I was off and running.
Yep.
Now, the only problem I had was the wireless access point. I couldn't reach it from here.
Uh-huh.
So I went downstairs. Now, what I did...
is I think that the PCMCIA card I have is getting really flaky. So I took that USB dongle.
Mine's doing
one,
the same thing, yeah.
And I plugged that in. And since I plugged that in, it's a world of difference.
Yep.
I have more range on it and everything.
I think they get hot, man. Does anybody notice that? Like, you have, like, you have the same card I do, right?
Right.
It's the Linksys WPC11 version 3 PCMCIA card. And I've been using mine for a while, and I find that mine's getting kind of wonky, too, right? And it keeps, like, it's dropping packets every now and then. And I think that once you get them up and hot a few times, they start flaking out on you. That's what I think.
Well,
but now we all have this, everybody in here has
the dongles now.
Dongle, D-Link DWL-122, right?
Yeah.
That's what they are. Little USB, like, pen USB dongle.
One of those two numbers.
And, dude, those work awesome. Plug it in and go. Never a problem. They get warm, too, but at least they're, like, hanging out here.
They're outside.
Not inside the
The only problem I have with it, with the dongle thing, is it's easy to get knocked around.
Yep.
And I think sometimes that happens and my wife loses the connection.
That is a problem. Well, they give you the little cord, man, so, you know.
Yeah.
Take some Velcro and Velcro the damn thing to the top of the laptop and plug the cord in at the bottom or something. It's not going to get knocked around.
Another annoying thing that with regards to that is if the system goes into, like, a power save mode, sometimes it'll knock the, it'll disconnect the wireless.
That sucks.
Or shut it down. And then it's not just a matter of, like, plugging it back in, because then you got to run the DHCPCD script again.
Yeah.
And you got to...
Well, that's another problem with the USB dongle. Like, it doesn't... You don't, like, plug the damn dongle in and turn your laptop on and get connected.
No, you have to...
You have to turn your laptop on
and then
connect, then plug the thing in after it's going.
Right, and... and then
that sucks. You know, with the PCMCIA card, you just plug it in and you turn it on, you go. But
now, when you do that with yours, does it automatically run DHCP for you?
You had to put a little script in there, man.
It
was pointing to a file that didn't exist.
Yeah, it points to like SBIN. The hot plug script points to SBIN if up or something like that. So you go in and you put an SBIN if up, and inside that file you type in. You know,
now, did you
DHCP
have to put
CD space WLAN?
And that when you did that, did you have to put in a sleep statement or anything?
No, hell no.
Because I noticed on mine,
because mine never goes to sleep. So.
No. I mean, when I plug it in, if I plug that in and I run DHCP CD, it'll bomb out because it doesn't. The DHCP CD runs before it authenticates to the wireless access point.
Really?
Right, and I can watch it, because if I do a D message, I can see that it says link, and it tries to connect there, and then a couple of seconds later, about three or four seconds later, it says connected, and that means it did all the encryption stuff and everything's okay.
So you just put a sleep statement in front of that?
Yeah, and this is a weird thing, because I used to have it set up, my wife, if ever lost a connection, had a little script that would shut it down and bring it back up, and I had to start messing around with the sleep. Like this one, I had to put a sleep about 18 seconds on there.
Really?
Right.
Wow, that's a long connect time. No, mine's, and I don't have to do that at all. I just plug it in, and... maybe there's something weird with your hot plug or something, because I plug mine in and you can watch the lights in the back.
Are you using WEP on yours at home, or are you using? Because you're using
no WEP at home. I use it here.
You use an access via.
I use MAC addresses.
MAC addresses.
I have everything filtered out via MAC address, which you know you can still spoof. But if you went through that much trouble, hey, you know, read your email.
Maybe if you know another thing, if you do it through the what is it? Are you running the dongle, right?
Yeah.
If you do it through the hot plug, maybe it waits until it's actually connected before it runs the rest of it.
Are you doing hot plug? No, you're using a card.
No, I'm using a hot plug, too, but I don't have it set up that it automatically runs a DHCP like you're saying. So when I plug it in, the hot plug goes, and I just run DHCP-CD. Or I have a little script that my wife can run and execute.
Oh, okay. See, you put that script in. If you look in your Verilog messages, I think it is, you'll see where it calls SBIN if up, okay, at the end of the hot plug script. So if you go in and make a file, an executable file called SBIN if up, And in that file, you put in the DHCPCD space WLAN0. You know, and make it executable. It'll run that after it gets a connect through your hot plug script, so you don't have to piss with any of that other stuff and put the time thing in and all that.
There's a freeze warning for tonight.
Freeze? Woo! Eastern Pennsylvania, folks, we're going to freeze. Here we go.
Now, that was...
And they said that that last movie there was, you know, not realistic. What the hell was the name of that movie?
Yeah, I know which one you're
you
talking
know
about.
What I'm talking about. All of you know what I'm talking about. The one with the weather thing and the freezing in New York in a hole. I can't even think anymore, man.
Now, you said, what file was that under?
It's, let me look, man.
So
S-bin if yeah. up. Now, you're not going to have a file there. My entire S-bin if up file is just DHCPCD space WLAN0. And you make it executable by everybody or whatever. And hot plug will run that. It looks for that file and will run it after your web connection or after your WLAN connection is going off your USB dongle.
Dongle.
And if you do that, and then you can pull whatever the hell, whatever junk you put in there, take that out and put this in there instead, and then you plug your dongle in, it'll do it all by its lonesome, and it'll be happy. So happy.
I want to try that out when we're done here.
Yeah, it works good, man. That's what I do. That's what Alan does, right? You do that, yep. Alan. Alan is the man. Alan figured this crap out and told the rest of us, and I just was paying attention that night, and Dan was playing with his pee-pee or something.
I just had a good guess there.
What another thing that's a pain in the butt, though, and this is not related to Alt Linux.
Okay.
This is also, it's KDE related. I think you ran into this, Alan, and we talked about this briefly before. There's no sound in Flash when you play it through KDE.
Yeah, there was once before, but lately I've had it, so I don't know what I did to get it back. But I know we found a command to start with. Let me see if I still have it.
Now, was that a command to start KDE with, or was that...
No, it was to start Firefox with, to get Flash to come up with sound. And...
Well, yeah, that's another thing I installed right away was the latest Firefox. That's how I know that a new one came out recently.
Yeah.
A new pre-release. But
anyway.
It was kind of a... Alt Linux is good. It is good. It's something to check out. Easy to install.
Alt Linux is good. Good, good, good. It's good, girly man.
Yeah, and, you know... It's tough for me to review any distribution because I'm so used to Slackware.
Well, and like we keep saying to everybody, you know, once you go Slack, you never go back.
And, you know, it's true.
I mean, look what we did to Alan. We made him a Slackware monster, too.
He beat his wife with a Slackware disc, didn't he?
Something like that.
I throw him out of you.
He throw ass. No, he keeps the Slackware. He throws the Mandrake.
I threw the AOL discs at her.
Yeah, well, but that's Slackware. Just I don't know. And you posted a Slackware that NewsForge thing where it said your personality type based on your Linux distribution.
Oh yeah, yeah. What was that one? I forgot what my personality type was there.
You wrote, a Slackware one. I guess you're trying to tell us, Link, that it's time to go.
It's almost 20 after, guys. I figured I would just creep the music in and everybody would notice that they're...
Well, I was waiting for somebody to notice the time.
That late, huh?
It's getting late, yeah. We're going to have
Thank
to continue
Thank you, everybody,
this
for listening. We'll have more next week on episode 58.
Yeah.
Getting close to the holidays.
Yeah, man. And we got to do that. We got to get together and decide what we're doing for our holiday schedule again, too. So,
right. All right.
We'll let y'all know next
time.
Peace
out, y'all.
Bye.
Bye.
Linux Link Tech Show.